You're listening to episode 89 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Post-Republican Islamic Surveillance Mechanism.
Speaking of the old NSA,
what is up with that?
Yeah. So this is the thing, James. We are being listened to right now by the
NSA. Well, that's good.
We're being recorded. Yeah.
And so how many of our subscribers are NSA agents? That's the question.
Probably not very many of them.
They're listening right now.
So the NSA is the National Security Association. No.
That sounds wrong.
It's wrong. Agency.
Agency, yeah.
It's a complete brain
association.
Fart. So the NSA is an American agency, federal government type stuff.
Like the IRS, but just a different acronym.
Yeah, exactly. And they are, from time to time, accused of malfeasance because they are tasked with malfeasance is sort of their bread and butter.
We're gonna get ourselves in trouble. Oh no, wait, we're fine because everyone's talking about it this week. We're good.
Exactly. They're wiretappers. They you know, back in the day, they'd tap your phone lines when the Patriot Act was enacted back after 9/11. The NSA was really the biggest beneficiary. They're a agency that gathers information, and they think of new creative ways of figuring out what everybody's talking about, with the express goal of keeping us safe. I'm gonna try my hardest to not get too political.
That was the other reason why I was like, well, I don't care. But anyways.
It's a tough one to not talk about, but thankfully, pretty much everybody but the government seems to be on the same page with, on this one. So it's politically relatively safe.
And just for the fun of it, I'll take the contrarian view, just so.
Yeah. All right.
Just so you know.
You know. That's good. So basically, what's going on here, is the NSA is listening to everything we're talking about. And
figures.
Yeah. And actually not listening to everything we're talking about. That's a misquote. So
what are they doing?
They started a program called PRISM. Nobody actually knows what it stands for, but it's an acronym of some sort.
Revised International Measures.
You forgot the S, but yeah, close enough.
I did.
Yeah.
Semi-measures.
Semi-measures. So basically what PRISM is it's this program. It's a tool that they describe. It's a series of systems and technological advances that allows them to collect data. There's a few different aspects to this. Number one, it's what is it? Who are they? What is PRISM? Who's it collecting data from? How is it collecting the data? And what data is it collecting from? And so, in that order, what was the first question I asked? Who? What? No.
I don't know. I was trying to think of creative words. So far, I got like post-Republican something surveillance mechanism.
Something Islamic.
Islamic. Yes.
So basically what's going on here is they're okay, I guess it's easiest to start here. Basically the NSA they built these giant server farms. Some of the biggest server farms in the world.
Wow.
We've mentioned this on the show before, are NSA server farms. They store a tremendous amount of data. It's unbelievable.
If I ever needed a data scientist job, that's what to sign up for. Of course, I get a government salary. I don't get the awesomeness I have now, but
yeah, it's true.
Which is like working from home, awesome hours, and a great boss.
So, hi, James's boss. They built this, and everybody's known that they had this thing for a long time. I mean, like, it's not the sort of thing that you keep secret. That you can keep secret, these giant data centers.
That's hard.
Yeah.
And no, so that building is for raising cattle. It's different.
Exactly. It just requires a tremendous amount of electricity, like more than anything else out there.
Let's just keep it digital tax files. That's all. That's it. So storage.
Exactly. And the NSA is like, there's no real mystery about what they do in that.
Right.
In that they collect data and look for secret stuff in there. They look for terrorists. That's like their job. So everybody was like, that's what it's used for, but it's gigantic. Why do they need that much data? What exactly is it all? So basically, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that if you're somebody who follows the tech industry, if you're somebody who follows kind of politics in a lot, like, none of this is really that shocking. What's so shocking about it is that this is the first time it's ever been, like, fully confirmed. Like, yeah, this is what's happening. But we've known for a long time there have been people in the NSA and just people who have been related to the NSA that basically say the NSA just collects everything. They collect everything from everybody. And we didn't really know how deep that goes, but now it's coming out. They collect everything from everybody, like Google, Yahoo, Apple, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. I mean, they collect everything from everything. Visa, MasterCard. When you run your credit card, when you make a phone call, they collect all sorts of data. And they store it for later use. Now, how they get around your right to privacy and, you know, requiring one of those, like, permit things or whatever they're called, warrants in order to search you, is basically they collect all the data, and then they say, and then what they do is they go to a judge and say, hey, we want to look at James Furlow. We think that he's we don't like him, and we want to look into it. And what they say is that the description I've been given about how their data centers work is actually pretty interesting. It's like you've got all these spreadsheets, essentially, and that are like, if you think of them as pieces of glass with a bunch of data, basically what they do is you align all of these pieces of glass together, and then, you know, like, you type in somebody's name and it'll kind of build these social networks of who you talk to, what you're talking about, or like where you're spending your money, what you're doing. And what's really fascinating about it is that they actually, like, one of their big defenses is that they don't actually collect the contents of your phone calls. You know, everybody's always said, like, they collect every tweet. We've known that forever. That's, like, they're open about that. This is public domain. Like, the Library of Congress has a complete backup of the entire Twitter feed of the world. You know,
yeah, no big deal.
Right. And so it's, like, a whole big mystery, and the NSA looks for, like, keywords of, like, I'm going to commit acts of terrorism on Twitter. Like,
which should not be very subtle. Really?
Yeah. If you're doing that, if you're a terrorist trying to get away with terrorism, I don't recommend you do that. But as somebody who doesn't want you to succeed, I recommend you do that. But what they're saying now is they're like, we don't get records of all your phone calls. We just track the metadata. And their defense is that your metadata is not as interesting as other stuff. But, you know, as, like, the content of the phone calls. Because, you know, we're not checking to see if you're talking about your terrorist plot. We're just seeing who you're talking to. What was fascinating about this is, and if I read a couple of stuff where guys that, like, do surveillance in Afghanistan, which is essentially, we do this stuff all over the world. I mean, like, we stoop all over Europe, all over the Middle East, all over, well, China not so much, just because it's more difficult, because they don't like it when we do it.
But we would like
to. Whereas, like, Europe likes us doing it. Yeah, we would. We do, we just don't do it very well, because they try to stop us. Whereas Europe, they're like, yeah, America, check out everything that's going on inside of us. And we, in turn, go to Europe and say, hey, Europe, how about you, spy on all of our citizens, too? And if we ever need to swap data, we will.
We're good. Like, we didn't collect, like, anything about Americans. They do that kind of stuff. We're fine.
That's actually, like, legitimately, yes, that's the argument, is that we the American government does not spy on Americans. We just have open communication with somebody who does.
It's all
and
good.
They're not American, so it's cool, right? That's all legal.
Fine.
And
is it second generation cousin? It's not cheating, it's so, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's not cheating. I think it would still be cheating, but legality is.
You know what I mean.
Oh man. Okay, remind me to talk to you about that after the show. That's
it's never good when you start with that.
An interesting and funny story that I can say. It reminds me of an interesting and funny story that is probably not appropriate for a live audience.
Okie dokie. That's so unfair, man. You're leaving him out.
I know. Well, I'm sorry, guys.
If you guys want to know what it is, DM me later. Go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much. So, where was I? So,
I don't know.
What they're talking about is they're collecting metadata, and why this is important is because in Afghanistan, don't actually like track phone calls or anything. They only collect metadata, and what they do with that, and where you're doing your transactions, who you're talking to, and why they do that is because they can figure out everything they need to know about your routine, where you're going, who you're associating with, who you're talking with, and they build these social networks of who you associate with. And then once they're pretty sure that, like, you talk to terrorists, you walk like a terrorist, you do things like terrorists, then we fly a drone and blow you up. And what's horrifying if you're not into this sort of thing, or gratifying if you are, is that's about the extent of how our drone program works. Is we just kind of figure, you shouldn't have been friends with terrorists if you didn't want to get blown up. And
if you didn't want us to think you were a terrorist, don't act like one.
Exactly.
Good point.
Wow, that's all it takes to get vaporized by America right now. That's good to know.
It's a brave new world we live in.
But really, I can't wait till China builds a drone program, because all of a sudden we're going to be like, wait a second, guys. This is not cool. The UN has to regulate this. You can't just go flying to other countries and blow people up. Like, you've been doing that for a decade. But that's different.
We're American. It's fine.
Yeah. I generally... I'm coming off as very anti-American right now. I generally like what we do.
Are you... Did you read this and just be like in disgust and find yourself just like, I can't believe they're doing this. Unbelievable. You know, were you up in arms as much as some of these other articles are?
See, this is what's weird, is I think it's really interesting in how they do it and what they're doing. The technological developments. This whole idea
of you're like, oh, that's cool the way they did it.
Yeah, I find that very interesting. But the horrifying truth of the fact that everything we do gets listened to and recorded,
can they just republish this podcast for us? Do I have to really go through the processing myself?
Come on, guy. You see, but the thing is that they don't actually listen to the contents of the podcast, which they're missing out on.
Seriously, guys.
Get your act together. This is good stuff. But what they do is they track the fact that you and I talk to each other every week, and they know where we're broadcasting from because all that information's stored in the router.
So if you ever become a terrorist, I'm in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Good to know.
And yeah, pretty much. And
just for the record, if you do ever become a terrorist, we are not talking again.
Okay.
Put that out.
You know
there.
What? Duly noted. I will consider that heavily as I debate whether or not to be a terrorist.
Yeah, let just be a weight on your decision.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, just yeah.
Just factor in on it.
Oh, jeez.
They don't know what we're saying. It's fine.
I guess for me, you know, to answer that question, it's not outraging. This new revelation hasn't been outrageous because to me it's like I don't know anything more about what they were doing or why than I did a week ago, which is to say I already knew most of this. It's the very particulars that's really the new brave new world of this whole story to me. It's that's what's interesting. It's You know, one of the things that they're talking about is with the prism, is which, you know, I actually think it's a clever name in that, you know, what does a prism do? You take light and it diverts it into different streams. It breaks it up into different information. And essentially that's what they're doing, is they're saying they're taking all of your, they're calling them your tier one data lines, your fiber optics. You know, we've got, you know, the whole cool part about the internet is that it's, there's no direct route for anything, so you can destroy entire nodes and it'll stay robust and fast. But there are main paths that everything goes on, and the NSA has just downloaded their software and put their hardware into the main router stations on those tier one lines. And what they're talking about is the fact that they're basically able to pick up and divert information and record it as things are traveling back and forth. So it's like, you know, Facebook, Apple, Yahoo, Google. I don't know why Yahoo gets included in that. They're not big enough to matter. Facebook, Google, Apple, those companies and a lot of other companies have all denied the fact that they're involved in any way in this. What's really strange is that they all denied it the exact same way, which suggests...
conspiracy!
My inclination is that they are not very cooperative. I wouldn't say that they're uncooperative.
The way that I read it too was the way that they denied it, they were like, how do I want to, it was a very particular thing that they denied. And you're like,
right.
Yeah, but you could still be doing it. I mean, yeah, it was, what's an example? You know, it would be like, oh, I didn't break into the house through the front door.
Right. Yeah. We did. You know, that sort of was everybody. You. All three of them were like together. They were like, we did not leave a back door for the NSA to come into our servers and snoop around all the information. You're like, yeah, but you don't need a back door. You just need to let them, like, you just need to not build security protocols that they can't decrypt. And that's the big thing, is that they're like, they're talking about the fact that, you know, it's if the NSA can decrypt the information as it's passing through these major lines, and Google, Apple, and Facebook aren't trying to stop them, then that's good enough. That's all the NSA needs, and that's exactly what the NSA is doing. You sit there and you go, like I said, I don't think that they're giving, you know, Google, they don't have a, you know, direct route to your Google search history. Google's, you know, whereas Google has all that data, they're like, yeah, you can't, you know, the NSA can't just drop it and be like, hey, we want to look at everything that Matthew searched. But if the NSA records it all and decrypts all, you know, gets rid of all the encryption and has their own database of everything I searched, Google's not going to stop them, because they're like, well, we can't really. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right. I guess at that point it is. What do you do if you...
Right.
You know, if they're capturing it all and they can... I just, in the little bit I read, they were like, it's too much work to decrypt everything. But if they decide that you're a person of interest and, you know, and they do those select ones, right, you know, they could do that. And what would you do? You're like, we don't give them access, but we also can't stop them, so...
Right, and
that sounds
and,
less
and,
bad. I mean...
Right.
It's... Yeah, I don't know.
They're not actively fighting the government, you know, so I guess that's...
Well, and even then, it's like...
Should they be?
So what if the government is collecting that information and decrypting it? Who cares?
Yeah, that's what you... Okay, so now, and this is where it gets just... a tad political. And I'm going to do my best to be delicate here, because not everybody believes this is a big of a deal, but almost every major news publication, from the New York Times, the Washington Post, liberal, conservative, doesn't matter, agree that the IRS targeting conservative groups for extra scrutiny...
Okay, agreed.
You know, it was an abuse of power, and so the concern isn't the fact that they're doing it, it's what happens when they abuse it, and the history of governments
is that they will eventually.
If they have a power to abuse, someone will. And it's like, it doesn't matter how much you trust, you know, President Obama, or you would have trusted Mitt Romney, or you would have trusted whoever, you know, George Bush. It's the fact that, like, you don't know who the next guy is. Like, you know, it's, you know, maybe
well,
it'll be
quite
Rand
frankly,
Paul, and it'll,
they're all yeah. human and, greedy in some way. I mean, as a, our society is, founded around capitalism and wanting more and, right. you know, pushing the boundaries as much as you can. And so, surprise, surprise, put a human in control. What do they do? So,
right.
you know, I get it, I guess. Where it may not be an issue today. It probably isn't an issue. They're probably not even close to an issue. But, you know, 20 years from now when we're all used to it and that's just the way it is and we all got the retina and Scott, whatever, the eye scanner thing like in Minority Report, you could get someone in there who has,
well, you know,
lower moral values no matter what party and takes advantage of it in some way that they shouldn't. I could see that as an argument.
And you're giving a super weapon to...
That's why we have a balance of powers. Three branches. Well, they all look at each other.
And what's disconcerting is it's
these
like...
aren't in them.
Yeah, I was going to say, number one, this isn't in them. Well, it is. I mean, it's oversight. You know, you get all the oversight from
hey, clearly Congress they got caught, just like the IRS people did. And in the U.S., at least, we are all about you're innocent until proven guilty. So you got to do something wrong before you get in trouble, you know, or before some sort of barrier or rule comes up, which becomes annoying with tax codes and TSA agencies, but that's the way that we work here. And, you know, but so I guess the question is there stuff out there that hasn't been caught and never will be caught? And, you know, you never know because of the nature of that question. But at least in these examples that seemed pretty egregious, they got stopped before it turned into anything really bad.
You'd think, well, I guess what my point is that my concern my concern is that you really are giving a super weapon to the people who are in charge of it. I mean, you can destroy somebody and you can destroy any of the people that could help them.
Destroy them in the sense that all you got to say is we think they're terrorists and let that go where it goes.
Well, not just that, but just give the, you know, if everybody has information that they don't want to get out, you're a political adversary and you're on the rise and you're taking down, you know, you're going to challenge the president in his second term and he decides, you know, let's look into him. And so you look into him, you get a little bit of information.
He hasn't called his mom in 2 months, folks.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden you got a dirty commercial that's hurting the candidate, and the candidate goes, okay. What the heck, man? I think that you abused that power and other people, you know, and then there's whistleblowers that are like, oh my goodness, the president used this. So the whistleblowers, they're going to go talk about it. But the NSA is like, Mr. President, you got a couple of whistleblowers in your cabinet because we're tracking everything they said. Like, what the heck? And like, well, let's destroy them too. And all of a sudden you've got the ability to see where people are going and what they're going to do as best you can before they do it. And that's the concern, is it's the tool is designed to literally try to predict what somebody's going to do so you can prevent them from committing whatever they're trying to do. You know, in the case of violence against the state, it's, you know, we want to figure out who's going to do an act of terrorism before they, you know, do it. But I think in the broader, you know, when you think about it as it's violence against the state, no matter what your creed, political stance is, and then if you kind of expand that to looking to political dissent, or because a lot of times, you know, especially domestic terrorism isn't religiously motivated, it's politically motivated, which means the tool is designed to look for political motives just as much as it's looked for religious motives. And all of a sudden, what happens if we don't look for somebody who's necessarily a violent revolutionist? They're just annoying, you know. And it's, you know, and all of a sudden, I don't know, it just becomes crazy that you, like, you sit there and you go, this is such a powerful tool. It's ridiculously powerful. And what gets really disconcerting is that the standard that's being set right now is that they know where you're spending your money, they know who you're making, they know what phone calls you're making, they know what your Google searches are, they know what you're tweeting. And anywhere where there's this new technology that gets integrated into our lives and we all adopt, they go, hey, that's cool information to start to keep track of. Well, all of a sudden, you know, we make that joke about the WeC, you know, Wi-Fi technology that can see where you are in your house. But the reality of it is, it's like, this is a big thing, like the Xbox Kinect. One of the things that that Microsoft did when they bought that one service where you, like, talk on the phone call, was really annoying.
It's Skype.
I can't believe I couldn't remember that name. One of the things that they did with Skype was they changed the nature of how the connection between the two clients worked, because Skype in its entire, you know, existence had been a peer-to-peer connection.
Yeah.
There were no central servers that you were routing through. So
which is pretty
there
awesome.
Wasn't, you know, yeah, it was, and because it was very difficult to kind of track from an outside source. The NSA might have been able to do it just because they were tracking everything that was going through the main lines.
It's kind of crazy, just all on its own.
But what's nice is that if you kind of knew that, you could route your, you know, you could get a VPN and you could get encryption stuff, and you could route it around sort of a lot of your main hubs. There's things you could do to really minimize that and use it as a communication tool that was more secure. Mm-hmm. First thing Microsoft did was route everything through one of their servers so that the NSA could figure out who they were talking to in case they ever got, because it's a phone service. It needs to be treated as though it were a wiretap.
Huh.
That it's a giant corporation that owns a phone service now, and if anybody comes to them from with a warrant, they need to be able to go, okay, here's the information you want.
Wow.
And you know, which, okay, that makes sense, but all of a sudden you're like, well, you're now like openly in league with, you know, okay, we, you know, like, you're doing what's legal. I don't think what Microsoft did was morally reprehensible, but what we do know is that when there is a tool, they have absolutely no problem turning over that information if they get the right legal precedence for it. So the question becomes, the Kinect has to be always on, always listening, and always watching, you know, in your living room. And the idea there is that, you know, they'll know if you watch commercials. They'll know if, you know... Yeah, well, I know. But,
I love this title, by the way. It says, New what? Xbox by NSA partner Microsoft. We'll watch you 24/7.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There are some good titles out there.
And I would just say, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, this was like, and what's really interesting was like, the drumbeat against the X-Bone. Which is what
is that? Okay, you know what? I thought that was a misspelling, so I fixed it. So,
yeah, no, it's the Xbox One. So that everybody's calling it
the X-Bone
is one word, the X-Bone. I like a lot more than the Xbox One.
Yeah, I thought I was like, oh, dude, Matthew, you totally messed up your spelling. No,
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, no,
cool.
I did it on purpose. So the X-Bone. Thank you. The X-Bone is a lot of people were like whining and complaining because there's so many things that they're doing that just are really, really upsetting the gaming community.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll hurt sales that bad when all of a sudden.
No, they'll be fine. They'll be stronger than ever as a result.
Yeah, and but it's like a lot of how they, you know, it's stuff that we talked about on the show where you can't resell games. You can only resell games through, you know, official resellers. They do it so like you can't resell a game more than once. All sorts of things like that. That people are really upset about, but the fact that the Kinect can never be, it has to be connected in order to work, and has to be always
connected.
Was concerning on Monday before the NSA whistleblowers started talking about the fact that the NSA reads everything that you do. You know, so it's like all of a sudden you sit there and you go, if we have cameras always on in our house, we know beyond all shadow of a doubt that the CIA has some of the coolest tools for viruses. Or, you know, that go into that'll go into computers and turn on your webcam and turn on your mic and they'll listen and watch if they.
I've seen the
to.
Movies. It's true.
You make a joke out of it, but like they use that technology all over the world. Like
right.
this is not a ridiculous thing for them to do. Not only is it not ridiculous, but it's like standard practice. Like they do that, and all of a sudden you're giving them this always connected tool that has to be always connected to the internet. And you just shrug your shoulders and you go, so how long before the NSA just decides that I think it'd be interesting to keep track of where you are in your house and what conversations you're having with your friends in that little nice microphone that you set there. Which actually the bigger question there is like, you know, how long until they start doing that with just everybody's computers? Like, how long until it becomes, you know, I
don't care about computers. Computers are trucks.
That's true.
Moving on.
You know, but your phone, you know, yeah. Your phone, I mean, that's actually, man, some of the stuff that the CIA does with, like, phones and being, like, Bluetooth-connected devices, but they're like, yeah, we get the virus onto all of these computers. Like, we just, it's a worm. It's self-propagating. It'll get on all these computers. It'll take over your Bluetooth. It'll connect to your phone, and then it'll upload the virus to your phone. Like, what the heck? How is that even possible?
You know, I being a data guy, that sounds like it would be really fun to work for the NSA. As horrible as that sounds, I'm like, man, I wonder if they got any job openings. That is cool.
We probably wouldn't be able to do this show anymore.
Because at HP, they struggle with privacy issues, and you can only keep data for like 3 years, and then you got to get rid of it, even though it's like super valuable. And it just kills me. We actually have the ability to pair together usage data with customer sales and information. Like, we could, if we wanted to, pair together like how you use your computer and printer with your credit card name information, right? And we could put a profile together of the customers and what they buy. But we don't, for privacy reasons. And
I will point out the fact that for those of you that are listening and not watching, James didn't even use his finger quotes there. He didn't say we don't do that. He actually just emphatically said we don't do that.
Yeah, we don't.
Which would suggest
which
they don't.
It's there. And we could. Yeah. I mean, it would take a little bit of work, because whatever. We could do it, and we don't. Whereas it sounds like the NSA is like, hey, we could do it.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for?
Not only can we do it, but we really should.
Well, and that was the whole thing around like Google's, what was it, Google One, or they created a dashboard where they were talking about how they were going to start pooling all your information together so you could see what Google knew about you. And everyone was like, Google Plus, they're going to start cross-pollinating, which on some level you're like, awesome, cool, please do that to make it better. Yeah. But it's like, man, when it's the NSA, you're like, well, not quite as...
It's a little bit different. You know, you know what the biggest difference is? This is the big difference, and I have absolutely no hesitation in saying this. Is that no. Google doesn't have an army behind it. The NSA has an army of armed bureaucrats that can go around and deprive you of your life, liberty, and freedom legally. Like, that's different. when Google can ruin my life but can't actually shoot me, that's one thing.
Well,
the NSA can ruin my life and shoot me, well, okay, now we're like, let's talk seriously about what we need to do here.
Well, and at least with Google, there's the perception of choice. If I don't like it, I stop using it. Their data collection is done, and I move on. And that's not an option with at least as far as I know. I mean,
well, yeah,
I guess you could move. You could move. I suppose that's not...
If you were to go to... Right. Well, and with the worst part of that's the thing, James. You couldn't move because it's legal for them to eavesdrop on you in other countries.
Oh, that's right. You just get worse.
Now you're not a citizen. You're more of a target because
I know,
that's where
really. They're like, he didn't like us tracking him, and he moved. Yeah. Now we're really going to track
interesting.
Him.
But he's doing something nefarious. You know, really, the only option you can do is to go like fully off grid. Don't use a credit card. Don't use a cell phone.
I love it.
Don't use the internet.
I want to do.
You know,
it.
And I was going to say, no which internet? Is like, what the heck? That's the big one you gotta avoid. So I don't know. It just it brings up all these really and it calls into question our strategy. Like we've always been advocates of I put everything online because whatever. Like I'm not or actually this totally validates what I've been saying for a long time, which is I don't mess with my Facebook security policies. I don't make anything private because to make things private gives me the illusion that it's private, and it's just not. And that's what really, to me, like, that is why I don't set any of my privacies and block anybody from, I make everything public, because I just sit there and I go, I don't want the illusion that that picture can't be seen because my boss can't see it, or the illusion that that email is not being read because I didn't send it to this person. If I put it on the internet, I just assume that people I don't want to read it are reading it or don't want to see it or seeing it, which kind of in retrospect makes me like terrified because I know that there are things out there that I'm like, you know, I'd much rather that never, ever, 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 ever come out, ever. And I don't think it ever will, realistically, which is nice to know. I mean, I'm such a small fish in such a big pond. But the idea that if I ever became a big fish, and I'm the kind of person that doesn't put stuff on, you know, I go out of my way to not put regrettable things on the internet, and, you know, but it happens. Or the worst, and actually, it's funny, it's not what I've put on the internet, it's what other people have put on the other internet and tagged me in, you know, and
right
now everybody knows. You know, and it's not the emails that I've sent, it's the emails that other people have sent me. And, you know, and that classic, well, if you didn't want to get vaporized like a terrorist, you shouldn't have hung out with terrorists. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks, friends. I appreciate that. Thanks for blowing me up. There's just a lot of different, and I guess the bigger thing here is I think that there's going to be a lot of noise to change stuff. But I don't think it's possible. I think we just need to accept the fact that we carry GPS devices around with us. We carry, you know, we send all of our telecommunications everywhere. There's just absolutely no impetus to actually protect us. It would require a societal change. But the people in charge, you know, it's like the Supreme Court has ruled that email is not, you have no expectation of privacy with your email. Which is crazy. I mean, like, we have a society that just, like, we would go berserk. You have to jump through so many hoops to open up a person's letter in mail and read their mail. It's almost ludicrous how difficult it is for the government to read bad people's mail. And because there's an expectation of privacy if it's put into, you know, onto a piece of paper. But if you put it into an email, there's no expectation of privacy, which is just nuts. I mean, it's ludicrous. But
what's the same idea of? I mean, in the same vein of, you don't, if you buy an Amazon Kindle book, you don't own it. You have leased the rights to it,
right?
And
exactly.
So they can recall it if they wanted. You can't share it. You can't loan it out because you didn't actually buy the book. You bought the rights to a digital copy.
Right,
our laws are inherently not designed for a digital world, and so, and quite honestly, it's one of those things where I think this is probably more true, if letters, the idea of sending mail, had been invented around the same time as email, you would be able to open them up, no big deal.
And that's what I was going to say.
It's just been grandfathered in.
My opinion on it actually is the fact that it is not that the Supreme Court doesn't understand. A lot of people like to yell about the fact that the nine octogenarians don't get email, but I don't think that's the case. I think they get email, and that's the problem. I think they understand that it is the modern equivalent of standard mail, and what they decided was, this is the perfect opportunity to change the rules.
Right.
It would be really nice if we could read everybody's mail. And we're not going to be able to change that without it being crazy, but we can change it with email. And since email completely destroyed traditional mail, perfect! We got our in! I think that, you know, it's
what a coincidence! Awesome!
Exactly.
We'll keep that old rule around.
Yeah. And that's what gets me. That's why I sit there and I go, that's, I think, why it doesn't bother me, is because it's just, I realize that this is the way that the world works. You know, this is the way that societies are structured. If it ever gets so bad that you can't survive, the society will unravel, and the, you know, tree of liberty will be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And, you know, it happens occasionally. I don't know what to do about it. Like, I just hope it doesn't happen in my lifetime. That's kind of my whole thing, you know. I just, honestly, I'm just trying to, like, you know, have a good job, find a cool girl to have kids with, and just be happy. You know, I can't stress out about this too much, because it's so far beyond me, and it's just so unstoppable. It's just a force of nature, and I'm not going to stop using my phone, my iPhone, to surf Reddit. That's just it. I mean, and if I won't stop doing that, I'm...
Honestly, if Reddit becomes a hotbed of terrorists, you'll probably not be interested in it anymore. So,
yeah.
Right, I'm just going to start from the assumption that you're not a terrorist and not interested in terrorist types of activities, but Yeah.